School is in session here in Arizona, and more schools are deciding to implement mask mandates to protect students and staff from the rapidly spreading Delta variant. As KJZZ has been tracking, close to 30 districts have now defied Governor Doug Ducey's wishes and a new state law he signed that bans mask mandates by requiring them anyway. A judge ruled that law doesn't go into effect until the end of September, opening the door for more schools to jump on board. That includes the Scottsdale Unified School District, which voted last week to put in place a mask mandate citing increasing cases of students with COVID-19 in the district. In fact, our next guest says they've seen more cases so far this year than at any point last year when the pandemic was at its worst. Scott Menzel is the superintendent of the Scottsdale Unified School District. I spoke with him more about the board's decision to put in a mandate and what went into it.
So, as you know, we started the school year with a mask optional policy. And as the school year started, we had a number of families who suggested that we really should have been requiring masks. At the time, we had legal counsel that indicated the law prohibited us from mandating masks. But the ruling in the Phoenix Union High School case, which indicated the law didn't take effect until September 29th, shifted the conversation. And subsequently, we had a board member request a special meeting to consider whether or not the district should implement a mask requirement, at least through that period of time. The other factors that were really important is that in the first week of school, we started August 4th, we had 3 days of school, there were 12 confirmed positive cases on campus. The second week, at the end of the second week, there were 66. Last week, we ended up with 142 positive cases. That number exceeded anything we saw all of last year for a single week of active positive cases on campus. When you combine that with the number of absences due to COVID-like illness and the number of students who were quarantined following Maricopa County Department of Public Health requirements for quarantine, more than 2,800 students and staff have been impacted in the first 2.5 weeks of school.
2.5 weeks of school. Were you surprised by these numbers and by how quickly and how forcefully this played out?
We were very surprised. We knew that the Delta variant was more transmissible, but we've never seen anything quite like this. Last year, we didn't have this experience at all. Mm-hmm. So when our students were masked, we saw very little evidence of spread on campus. And so the disruption was minimal by comparison. This happened very quickly when students returned to school.
So then let's talk about some of the fallout here, which I'm sure you knew would be coming, right? Like requiring masks has become quite a political debate, also a legal matter, as you outlined. The governor has also tried to incentivize schools to not impose these mandates with funding of various kinds. Did any of this and sort of the broader discussion around this play a role in this decision, or were you just kind of looking at the numbers and the consequences directly on the ground and saying, this is what we've got to do?
Well, I would add to, we did look at the numbers and that reality on the ground for us was significant, but public health officials from the Center for Disease Control to Arizona Department of Health Services, Maricopa County Department of Public Health, numerous pediatricians and doctors from Honor Health, Mayo, Banner, ICU units were emailing and letting us know it's really important to do what you can to slow the spread of this virus. And we believe that implementing a mask mandate will help us because we're seeing this significant increase in the school age population, and we need to do something to slow the spread. When the governor came out with his statement that in order to qualify for up to $1,800 per student, one of the things that our community didn't know at the time, they should now, is that Scottsdale never qualified for any of that money. There was a plan to spend that federal money before he tie-barred it to not having a mask mandate. And we were not eligible for a dollar of that up to $1,800 anyway. So we were not driven by any threats from the governor's office. We're really focused on what we can do as a school district to keep our schools open for in-person learning. While there's a strong difference of opinion in terms of mask or no mask, there's almost universal agreement that our students need to be learning in person. Online learning last year was really, really difficult for our students.
I want to talk about that in a moment, but let me ask you one other question about the fallout here. I mean, there are now petitions to recall the board members who voted for the mandate. What are you hearing from the community, from parents, teachers, staff? I mean, is this mixed or are you getting a lot of negative feedback here?
The feedback in Scottsdale is mixed. It typically is. My email is trending more in support of the mask mandate than opposed, but that varies by day. Our community is definitely split in terms of whether or not they think this was an appropriate course of action. But there are many, many people who have expressed appreciation. And with the exemption and the reasonable accommodation provisions that the board included, we've seen less than 2% of our families actually submit a request.
So you mentioned the governor's efforts to incentivize schools with this federal money that you wouldn't have gotten anyway. But the governor also offered vouchers to students who want to leave schools that are requiring masks and other sort of COVID restrictions. Are you concerned that some will take him up on that? You'll lose students and therefore you lose funding?
We want to be able to meet the needs of all of our students at Scottsdale Unified School District. I also recognize we are operating in a school of choice environment. Uh-huh. Parents can leave for any number of reasons. And so we'll have emails indicating that if you don't implement a mask mandate, we're going to leave. If you do implement one, we're going to leave. So we get that comment on both sides. And our goal is to be able to keep our schools open for in-person learning as safely as possible using the mitigation tools that we have at our disposal. And right now, requiring masks is one of those.
Let me ask you about what you mentioned then about the main goal of everyone here being right to keep kids in the classroom this year. Can you talk about why that's so important to you and to the community at this point, given what you went through last year?
Well, online learning, while it has a place, by nature, human beings are social and learning gets done in a community. And so when students have their learning disrupted, especially by temporary quarantine, so if they're out 7 to 10 days and then they come back again and then they happen to sit next to the wrong person, they're out for another 7 to 10 days, uh-huh. You can't really replace the in-class experiences. Students and teachers engage in authentic dialogue about some piece of literature, or they're working collectively on a science experiment. And in particular, it's really hard for elementary students. High school students can adapt more quickly, but you can't just turn on a camera and have first graders watch teaching and learning happen. And so the ability to have school in person really makes a difference, not only from an academic perspective, but from a social emotional well-being perspective. Our kids need to be together in community.
Let me ask you one last question, Superintendent. Because this has been such a challenging year on so many levels for people, particularly in your position, I've spoken with several superintendents of various districts around the state over the last year, and it's become a political position in a way that it wasn't before. It's become a controversial position to be in. You've gotten threats from some people on one end and then on the other. I wonder if you can just sort of speak to this moment that you find yourself in. Did you ever anticipate ending up in the middle of this kind of intense political debate in the middle of a pandemic like this?
I don't think any of us could have anticipated it. I've been a superintendent for 20 years. We've had pandemic tabletop exercises. None of those contemplated something like this that was so polarizing, people with such entrenched positions. And for me, the hope is that we can get our community to think beyond the pandemic. What kind of school district do we want to have on the other side of COVID?
All right. Scott Menzel, superintendent of the Scottsdale Unified School District, joining us. Scott, thank you for taking the time and best of luck going forward.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's turn to Maria Paletta with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting. She covers education there, and she's on the line now to tell us more about the broader landscape here. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
So we just heard from the Scottsdale superintendent about what they are doing there, but let's talk about this on a statewide level. Like, what do cases look like? How many cases are we seeing pop up in schools? What do we know?
We know that since students returned to in-person learning earlier this summer, districts have reported more than 2,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases. That's among both students and staff, primarily students. And they've also required thousands of students to quarantine at this point. But what we don't know is the precise scope of either of those numbers because the state doesn't provide a centralized dashboard detailing school-based COVID outbreaks. It's very piecemeal at this point. Some counties are monitoring outbreaks at the local level, but not not all of them, and not all of them are doing it the same way. At the school district level, only about 25% of public school districts, that's not including charters, have a COVID-19 dashboard. Most schools are sending home letters to parents as cases and exposures arise, but because that has been sort of a patchwork and as they arise, it's been difficult for parents to get a clear picture of what's happening at a given school overall in a lot of cases.
Right. And you at AZCIR there are trying to bolster this, to track some of the COVID cases. What are you seeing?
Yes. Last week, AZCIR launched an effort to create a more complete view of COVID outbreaks and quarantines at Arizona schools. We've asked parents, staffers, and others to report outbreaks at their schools, to share advisory letters that they've gotten. In less than a week, we've gotten more than, or about, I think, 150 outbreak reports from parents of students throughout the state. The vast majority of those have involved district or charter schools, though we have started getting a few reports from private schools as well. Those reports have largely been concentrated in Maricopa County. Obviously, that's the main population center, but we're also getting submissions from Gila County, Pima, Pinal, Coconino, Yavapai, Yuma, and La Paz. So it's very clear that this is happening throughout the state. Hmm. It's also clear from what we're getting that some schools are sending home these advisories regarding new cases and exposures daily or almost daily at this point. And we've seen some of those exposure notices affecting classrooms, grade levels, bus routes, after school programs. So you name it, there probably has been a case or an exposure.
Mm. So let's talk about then how schools broadly are responding to this rise in cases that we're seeing. We heard what Scottsdale's doing, and I know other schools are also looking at mask mandates or have implemented them already. What are we seeing on a broad scale?
Sure. It really varies quite a bit. We've gotten reports of at least three schools in the last week where everyone has been sent home temporarily because of the scope of the exposures was so widespread. Others are requiring close contacts to quarantine, to test before they return to school if they've been exposed, or to wear masks if they've been exposed if they don't have a broader mandate. As you mentioned, some in response have implemented some of those broader mask requirements. Some are having certain classes or grade levels temporarily return to virtual learning. In some cases, that's indefinite. In other cases, it's, you know, for this week or for the next 2 weeks. Other districts or schools, I should say, are notifying parents, but seemingly not doing a ton else, just letting them know, but don't have, you know, a broad response to to those cases. I will say it seems staffing is starting to become a problem for some schools because so many teachers are going into quarantine and schools are having trouble finding willing or available substitutes. So it varies quite a bit in terms of response.
Hmm. So Lynn, let's talk about the governor's efforts here to stop schools from doing what we heard Scottsdale is doing, right? We heard what the superintendent there had to say about he called them threats to schools and worries about whether or not students will even take them up on this offer for a voucher to go elsewhere. Are you seeing other districts respond in kind? Do you think this is playing a role?
I do think it's a consideration for schools, but kind of what exactly happens with this seems to still be up in the air. The governor did announce that plan to exclude school districts with mask mandates from receiving those millions in federal grants, but federal officials have responded by threatening to yank all the Arizona money away if the governor keeps that in place. So it's not really clear yet whether the governor will, number one, take heed, number two, whether the Biden administration will follow through, and number three, how much of a role that's playing for school districts that at this point are really trying to respond to these constant changes in cases and exposures day to day.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you lastly then, Maria, what is next, which we may not know the answer to, but so schools are imposing these mandates if they are imposing them until September 29th, when the judge says this law banning mask mandates will actually go into effect. What happens then?
You're right. It's unclear at this point because there are a lot of moving parts. There is a coalition of educational entities. I believe it includes the Arizona School Boards Association, the Children's Action Alliance, the Arizona Education Association. They together have filed a separate lawsuit that attempts to block implementation of the ban. In that lawsuit, they're arguing that the ban was, number one, you know, passed illegally, not according to state rules, and that it undermines the rights of students throughout the state. So there's an initial hearing in that case on Wednesday. It's not clear how that will end up. I think a lot of schools are kind of in a holding pattern right now, seeing what happens with that case and whether the law, in fact, is implemented and starts to be enforced come September 29th.
All right. We will watch for that. That is Maria Paletta, investigative reporter with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, joining us to talk more about what's happening in schools with the rise of COVID in the state. Maria, thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me.